Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear the first portion of our gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 21. Then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and there will be anguish on the earth among nations bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of things that are coming on the world, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is near. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So the word Advent, the Latin word Adventus, means coming. And the word that is similar to it in the Greek is the word parousia. In the days of the Roman Empire, the advent or adventus or coming often referred to the Roman emperor when he would come to a certain area. And his coming would be a grand coming and even a ceremonial or a religious coming. You just wouldn't be passing through. But this adventus, this advent of the emperor, was a pretty prestigious and even religious matter. When the Bible uses the term advent or coming or parousia, in almost every case it's referring to the coming, the final coming of Christ. So here's the interesting thing. If you were a Christian in the early Christian church living at the time of the Roman Empire, and you believed in and you confessed the coming of Christ, you were essentially confessing that he was Lord of lords and King of kings, and that he was far above any ruler or emperor here on earth. And that could have gotten you in trouble. Could have gotten you in trouble with the Roman Empire. Because to confess that Jesus Christ is coming is to confess that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. It is to confess that he is God incarnate, God in the flesh, God sent from the Father. And the Roman Empire insisted that the really important coming or advent was that of the emperor, which included some sort of emperor worship. And Jesus would just get in the way of that. So, Jesus in our text, in many places in the gospel, speaks of his final coming. And he has not left us without indicators or signs. And that's what we find in our text, of course, where Jesus is talking about signs. He talks about what we could call preliminary signs, in other words, signs that occur throughout the history of the world prior to his coming. And then he talks about one great, huge set of signs, and we'll talk about those in just a little bit. But these signs could be compared to a countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. When you get to 0, that event is there. And all these numbers before that are signs, you might say, of that 0. So, you know, we use a countdown for a satellite lifting off. And we say, when we get to 0, we have liftoff. Or when we're using the countdown for a race, when we get to 0, the race begins. Or when we use it for something like hide and seek, you get to 0, and that's when the person goes out and looks. And the same thing when it comes to the signs of Christ. When we get down to zero, Christ is there. He's coming. When it comes to these signs, again, we have two different kinds of signs. We have the preliminary signs, which would coincide with numbers 10 down to 2. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Preliminary signs. And Jesus tells us what these preliminary signs are. He says they are false teachers, false Christs, false prophets. They are wars and rebellions, earthquakes, famines, plagues, other natural catastrophes. He informs the disciples especially that one of the signs will be that they will be persecuted, they will be arrested, they will be in prison. Some of them will even be put to death. And these are signs that occur not just once, but they occur over and over again. These 10 down to 2, they occur over and over again throughout history. Many of them with increasing frequency or intensity. There's one sign among the preliminary signs, however, that only occurs once. And that is the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple. And Jesus, that particular sign, which occurs only once, actually foreshadows or points ahead to the last day when he will come. And upon his return, everything will be destroyed, the universe and everyone in it. So, 10 down to 2 are these preliminary signs in the countdown. And they are found throughout history. They are found today. And many of them, we would say, are increasing with frequency and intensity. And then we come to our text. Jesus says, then, in other words, after all these preliminary signs, that after they have run their course, then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And there will be anguish on the earth among nations, bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of things that are coming on the world, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So this is the number one in the countdown. This is the number one. Jesus says these are signs, but they are significantly different than the preliminary signs. These are the above and beyond horrible and catastrophic signs. They cannot be explained by natural disasters or natural phenomena, something like an eclipse or an exploding star, way beyond that. One commentator even says that this will be the time when the laws of nature throughout the universe will all be repealed. And these signs in the heavens will occur just before Christ returns, just before. Nobody will miss these signs. People will faint from fear and expectation because of what will be observed and experienced by every single human being. Whether these last signs in the heavens will take hours or a day or several days, you know, we don't know. But we can be very confident. We're not talking about months or years here. Jesus in our text then goes on to give the parable of the fig tree. In all trees, he says, when you see leaves appearing, you know summer is near. In the same way, when you see these signs occurring, whether they be the preliminary signs or these last signs in the heavens, know that Christ is near. We can be confident that Christ could come any day because we've seen all these preliminary signs all the time. And so we're just waiting for those last great signs in the heavens. know the signs, look at what is going on in the world, and keep your eyes on the sky. He is coming. In the last verses of our text, Jesus gives several instructions. He says, be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled from carousing drunkenness. You know, why does he mention these particular sins? Well, these are sins people have a tendency to love. They bring pleasure, deceptive pleasure. A lot of sins are fun, we would might say, from a sinful perspective. But brothers and sisters, do not love any sin. Rather, repent of your sins and love your Savior instead, who has forgiven you all your sins. Jesus also says, be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled or weighed down from worries of life. Why is the sin of worry mentioned here? Because worry often reveals a misdirected faith or a lack of faith. Again, lack of faith says we are not trusting as well as we should the one who has redeemed us, the one who has forgiven us. So the Christian is always seeking that greater faith, that greater trust in Jesus Christ. We'll often pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So we love Christ, we trust Christ, not only because he forgives us all our sins, but because he will deliver us from whatever causes us worry in this present life. And that brings us to the last instruction of Christ. He says, but be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray for strength. You know, we pray for many things in this life. If we get sick, we pray that we get better. If somebody we love gets sick, we pray that they get better. But this prayer here is of much more value and much more important. You know, if I get sick, I'll pray for myself. You'll pray for me, but whether I get better or not, it has nothing to do with entering eternal life. But this prayer that Jesus commands us to do does have to do with eternal life. We're praying that we won't get caught up in the world. We're praying that we will be able to stand before the Son of Man on that last day. The only way we can stand before the Son of Man on that last day is by faith in him. As Jesus said in the book of Revelation, be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. So these verses by Christ are really talking about the Christian life in view of the last days and in view of his coming. You are to know your sins and daily repent of them. You are to know that Jesus is your Savior, crucified for you, the one who paid for and has forgiven you all your sins. You are to know and believe that he rose from the dead for you. You are to come here to hear and receive the forgiveness of all your sins in word and sacrament, and to learn how you ought to live as Christians. You are to know and recognize the signs of his coming. You are to know that he is coming again for you. You will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. For our further comfort this morning, I'd like you all to turn to our last hymn, hymn number 98. Take out your hymnary. Hymn number 98. It is a hymn, it's a beautiful hymn that contains, especially in verse, stanza 3, a very stark warning for the unbeliever, as we will see. But I'm going to draw our attention to stanza number 3. This is a stanza of great encouragement, great hope. It's a hymn stanza of praise. For this stanza will not only tell us who we will see on that last day, our Savior who forgives us all our sins, but also what we will see, you might say, on Jesus on that last day. Tokens, they're called in this stanza. Tokens that clearly testify that in him is a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, your God of salvation, and your God of redemption. So I read that stanza 3. And pay attention to the word tokens here. Those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exaltation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture, gaze we on those glorious scars. See what it's saying here? When he comes, he will have still on his body those tokens, those signs, those scars on his hands, his feet, and in his side to remind us that he is coming for our redemption. He is coming because he has forgiven us all our sins. He is coming because you have believed in this Jesus. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.